Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 85th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I almost said 58. A little bit dyslexic here. Not really, but whatever. 58 would not be that many episodes.
We're going to be at 100 soon.
Soon. Eventually. If we ever get our shit together and, like, start podcasting really consistently.
Yeah.
If we went back to weekly, we could hit it. We could hit it by the fall. We'll probably hit 100 around the time that we hit three. Well, that I hit 3 years. You came in a year later than me, so you're at a year and a half. I'm at 2.5.
Yep.
Long time to be doing this podcast.
Yeah.
But it's also like changed significantly in structure and other things. In that,
like me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's also a lot less structure to the podcast in that I used to put together like a list, like a fucking mailing list, and be like, hey, if you're on the podcast this week, here's everything you need to read and like try. Now I don't. What are you eating? Are you eating
nothing?
You're eating like nachos or something, but they look like wet.
It's Taco Bell. Doritos nachos.
Are those they're
like leftovers from yesterday.
All right, that would explain their consistency. I was like, what are those fucking nachos? Why are they floppy?
Yeah.
To people not watching the podcast and instead listening, like most of the people who listen or like consume this podcast do, Joe is eating food on the podcast and is a little weird looking.
I was making food when you were like, let's do the podcast. And I was like, I'm hungry.
So, yeah, I like had just finished eating when I was like, oh, shit, podcast, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to get this out of the way. I have things to study for. Anyways, let's get to these intros. Yeah, I got a test on Wednesday.
Okay.
Multivariable calculus.
Isn't school done?
Engineering runs year round.
Okay.
So.
Have fun.
Yeah. All summer. December, man. Then I'm done. I just gotta get to December. And then I'm done.
Yeah.
If I didn't take off the 8 months that I took off last year, I'd be done right now. But. Anyways, I'm your host, Ryan. And with me, as always, Joe. A.K.A. Batman Reviews.
Sup.
Not much. Sup. So, what have you been playing? What have you been doing?
I have been playing SteamWorld Dig. I just beat that game. Like, literally right before you called me.
Did you get that in the humble Nintendo bundle?
Yes, I did, which is like the most amazing bundle ever, and I can't wait to see what else they include in it.
Yeah, I'm waiting until I see what else is in it, because
they have like, if you go onto the Nintendo store, they have like a tab for Nintendo Humble Bundle thingy, whatever. If you tap on that, it shows a list of games, and there's like seven more that weren't included in the bundle that may be included later. I forget what they were, but Don't Starve was in there.
Yeah, but I own Don't Starve.
Yeah, and there's a couple other ones that were in there. There's one I was really interested in, but I can't remember. But I didn't have most of the games other than Guacamelee, so I decided to get it. So now I have a ton of games on my 3DS and my Wii U.
Yeah, I don't have many games for my 3DS. It's a Monster Hunter system for Monster Hunter games. Because yeah. Capcom doesn't like the Wii U, I guess. Those bastards.
Since we've last done the podcast, I played a shit ton of Destiny. I put a lot of time into the new House of Wolves expansion, which is very much enjoyable. I've had to put myself on a pause on it just because I was playing it too much and not getting enough YouTube work done because of it. They added a lot of new stuff, which I really enjoyed. You can actually go to Mercury now, though it's like you have to unlock it through a crazy way. Yeah, it's not like a
playable area.
No, it's doesn't like a stealth area.
But the next expansion adds a new, like, playable world. Yeah.
The next expansion is said to be, like, this huge, giant expansion that'll most likely add Mercury. The social space is kind of probably, like, a hint towards that. And then probably stuff beyond the asteroid belt. So that'll be an interesting expansion. And
not part of the season pass.
Yep, exactly. I'm not surprised by that.
So everyone has to pay.
Yep. But yeah, the expansion was good. The Prison of Elders, the wave-based combat thing, it's actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It's really fun. Like tons of like modifiers to keep things different, changed up, and bosses, and it's really fun to play with friends. I was really enjoying it. It's probably one of my favorite parts of the expansion, surprisingly. Then the Trials of Osiris, which is the PvP elimination game type, was also fun. So I've had a good amount of time with it. And other than that, I've gotten into Splatoon, though I can't really say I've gotten into it because it's a laggy mess for me, and I can barely play the online. So usually how I play Splatoon when I wasn't lagging before was I'd run to the middle, I'd gain map control, and I'd just dominate everyone. And I'd be like, wow, this is great. I'm super MLG pro, and everyone sucks. But now it's like, it's really laggy for me. And if I try to go mid and do the same thing, I like none of my paint registers. So I'll be shooting the ground and no paint will show up. So I'll just be stuck in the enemy's paint and I can't do anything. I can't kill someone who has the roller because I kill them. And then like 3 seconds later, they kill me after I've killed them. So, like, I can't get away from them even after I've killed them. So what I've been doing is I've switched to the paint roller, and I've switched my playstyle to just kind of chilling and painting our whole base and kind of, like, sneakily painting into the enemy's base with the roller and using the Kraken ability. Because you can't be killed in that ability, so if I use that ability, then I don't have to worry about the lag. So that's really the only way that I can actually play the game now. I've beaten the single player, gotten all like the secret hidden scrolls. I did all of the amiibo challenges. So the only thing I have left is the multiplayer. But I called Nintendo and I guess like it's not like on my side. It's a lot of people are having this issue for some reason. And Nintendo's working on a fix for it right now. So they said they should hopefully have it out by the end of the week. If not, then just call Nintendo back and see if they have any responses on how to fix it. But until then, I'm just going to have to enjoy running people over as a giant squid.
I was going to say that multiplayer sounds thoroughly unenjoyable in the way that you have to play it.
Oh, it's like, very unenjoyable.
Like you should just go play Destiny or something.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming like you want to do a video on Splatoon, but it sounds kind of like not possible.
I have really been enjoying it and I am working on a video on it. I can still get a very good gist of the multiplayer. It's just I can't play in the playstyle I'd want to. I just have to play in a different playstyle than I'm used to. So it's like instead of playing as the Slayer in Halo, now I have to be the objective player. So it's still fun, it's still enjoyable, and I still love the crap out of it. It's an amazing game, but once, like, the lag issues get fixed, it's definitely going to be even better.
So have you been playing anything else or working on anything?
Working on videos like usual. I have a lot of stuff going on. I'm working on 2 videos a week like usual. And then I have another channel that I'm starting with someone, which I can't really talk about yet. And then another secret project that I can't talk about either. So I have a lot going on, a lot of crazy, crazy stuff happening. But hopefully it all kind of works out and stuff becomes awesome. Other than that, I can't really think of anything else that I've been playing. Been playing a bit of Borderlands 2 with my girlfriend. She picked up the Handsome Jack collection and don't really notice a difference between the 360 version and the Xbox One version, other than you get all the DLC.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's make an HD remake of a game that was HD.
I don't really think it's an HD remake. I think it's just more of a, hey, look, you can play Borderlands on your Xbox One now.
You know what game is an HD remake? That Gears of War HD remake that comes out this year.
I've seen a few images of the HD remake of the Gears of War 1. There's been some leaked pictures.
Well, yeah, because there was leaked video footage of it from a beta test.
Yeah, so...
It wasn't even announced yet. Microsoft banned a bunch of people.
No, they've posted some pictures after the beta. Like, I've seen the footage and, like, pictures from that footage, but there's been a couple more pictures that...
Yeah, well, like, Microsoft had to basically announce it because they were, like they were screwed. I mean, the video footage of that game came out and was on the internet, and then I think Destructoid posted it. So someone, like, sent them an email that was like, hey, can you take down this story because we signed an NDA and this breaches that NDA? And it's like, wow, thanks for confirming that this is a real thing and not fake, because we didn't sign any NDAs, so this is sitting right here.
Yep.
But is that the first game to get an HD remake that was HD?
What?
Gears of War. Is it the first HD remake of a game that was HD? It might be.
Halo 2 was an HD. Halo 3 got a technical HD. Halo 3 got a technical HD remake.
Well, it wasn't, like, done in the same way as,
Yeah. But
Halo 2, because you're talking about, like, the Master Chief Collection, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really, like... I played it. It doesn't look better.
The thing is, Gears of War 1 came out really early in the Xbox 360's lifespan, where everything on the Xbox 360 in that time period kind of looked really bad. Gears of War didn't look that bad, but...
Gears of War looked amazing. It was, like, the game that made you think, like, fuck, this was worth buying this thing for.
Yeah, it looked amazing for the, like... for the time, but going back and playing it, there is a lot that could look better, but it doesn't really need an HD remake.
Yeah, which is why, like, it's kind of laughable that it's...
I can understand the fact that, hey, remake all of the Gears of War franchise on the Xbox One and you guys can enjoy it on the new system now, but it's like...
But they're not even remaking all of them.
Wasn't it 1, 2, and 3?
Just 1.
I thought it was all 3.
No. It's just 1. It's not like a collection like the Master Chief Collection. It's just Gears of War 1 remade. So it's like, why?
I find that interesting since...
I think that the company that's making that, Black Tusk, they're based out of Vancouver. They were the year that the Xbox One was, like, announced, they announced Black Tusk as, like, their new studio. Which is funny because they aren't, like, a new studio. They were Microsoft Games. That's what they were called before. And now they're called Black Tusk. But they were supposed to be making new IP for the Xbox One. Like, that's what they specifically said that Black Tusk would be doing. And I think they're making this Gears of War remake, and then they're doing a new Gears of War game. So.
I don't know. As long as they don't fuck with the mechanics, I'll be really happy. Because Gears of War 1 probably had... the best mechanics out of any of the games.
Well, the thing about, like, making a Gears of War game is that you're not... The requirements of that game are, like, very laid out. There's no wiggle room. It's like how anyone, like, any experienced studio could pick up the Halo franchise and make a new Halo game. Because that roadmap, like, the requirements of that game are so, like... stringent and laid out, and, like, well laid out, because there's so many Halo games already, and, like, all of them are very, like, they're the same. They're all the same.
Gears of War 1 and Gears of War 2 are almost completely different games mechanically.
That's not true. They hold a lot of the same stuff in their structure. They're both cover shooters. They aim basically the same.
Yes, in the aspect of their third-person cover shooters, yes, they're the same things. But in deep mechanics, Gears of War 2 changed a lot. They changed the company and the owner didn't want Gears of War 1 to be the way it was. So they changed Gears of War 2 to make it more the way they wanted it. So they added in stopping power so you couldn't just wall bounce with Nashers everywhere. And then they tried to make the Lancer the most powerful gun in the game, which really changed a lot with Gears of War 2, make it more of a cover shooter than a bounce around with the Nasher and have a lot of shoddy battles, which is what people really loved about Gears of War 1, was being able to bounce around with the shotgun and blow people to bits, not stand behind cover for 10 minutes and hope that you can Lancer them down. This is standing from a professional point of view, not from a casual point of view, though.
Those games are basically the same fucking game, except for balance. They aim the same way. They've just changed the damage on the guns. It's not... I get how that seems really significantly different, but as someone who's developing a game, it's not. It's literally changing numbers in a spreadsheet. Like, if you're making a new Gears of War game, regardless of how you want to balance the guns... You know what guns have to be in it. You know how they have to handle, because really the damage count is not the thing that matters in like making the guns feel the way that they're supposed to feel. It's about sound. It's about animation. It's about like just general appearances. And like that game, everything that makes a Gears of War title is just so, I guess, it's so engraved. Like you're not changing. There's not room to change anything in that game. That's why any, like, and it's the same thing in Halo. Like, every Halo is a little different because the guns are balanced a little different. You run a little different in speed, but, like, the animation and the general, like, feel of that game is so laid out that you can't make significant changes. Thankfully, with the new Halo, they're actually deciding to make significant changes, which makes me actually interested in that game. Unlike Halo
definitely make significant
4.
Changes. I'm telling you right now, if Gears of War 1, if they make Gears of War 1 feel like Gears of War 2 and 3, there'll be plenty of people disappointed because it's not supposed to feel that way. So that is a significant change because it changes how the game plays.
But why would they change it in a remake? I'm just saying they're making another Gears of War after this, and like it's gonna be the same thing. They're all the same
probably
thing. Anyways, so that's it for you? That's all you've played?
Yep.
So, I think it's kind of obvious what game I played. So, I played Witcher 1 and Witcher 2 since the last podcast, because I finished Witcher 1, and then, and there's things that I forgot about that game, actually. That game's better than I initially said, because I was talking about on the podcast the last time, which I guess was like 3 weeks ago, that The Witcher 1 was a bad video game. I was wrong. It's really good. once I got past a couple of things that are super frustrating about that game, specifically blocking is like fucking not a thing basically, but that game, its story is pretty good. That game does like a lot of stuff. The end of that game basically sets up that entire game world forever. And a lot of the stuff that you learn in Witcher 1 for the narrative is really important in The Witcher 3, which is the game that I've been playing the most of. So, after I finished Witcher 1, I played Witcher 2. There were some things that made me really mad. Things that I didn't know about The Witcher 2 until this most recent playthrough. So, in my playthrough of Witcher 1, I made a different choice this time around than I normally make, and I chose to, like, be in a relationship with this character called Shani instead of Triss Marigold. And if you do that when you start up Witcher 2 and import your save, then all you get to explain the character, like, Shani's fate and why you literally opening cutscene wake up in bed after having had sex with Triss Marigold instead of Shani is that you and Shani just weren't going to work, so you broke up. You just get a journal entry that says that. So you wouldn't even know if you didn't look in the journal to, like, see the character glossary on Shani. Shani is a character that is not in The Witcher 2 at all. Just not at all.
That's funny.
And I was like, what? She was a fucking main character in the first game. You guys, like... It's the only opportunity that you have to marry someone in that whole franchise... is in the first fucking game, and I did it, and they weren't that. They're just not in the series at all. But so that kind of made me mad, and then but then there's some interesting stuff at the end of Witcher 2 that I think is still pretty awesome. Like, I forgot that at the end of the first chapter of The Witcher 2, you have a choice whether or not to help Roach kill the, like, he's like the guard captain for this town that you're in. So you can either kill him or save these elves from this burning tower. And whichever one you choose determines which person or which chapter 2 you play. Because there's two completely different chapter 2s. There's one where you go with the Scoia'tael leader. They're like non-human rebels. They're considered like terrorists. But you can either go with Yorveth, who's the leader of the Scoia'tael, and at the end of chapter 1. And if you do that, your chapter 2 is totally different. Like, you end up in a totally different place. And then...
That's awesome.
Or you can choose to kill this guard captain, and then you go with Roach, who's like the captain... He's like the head of the secret police for... He's like the head... He's the spy master for Temeria, which is the country that you're in.
Hmm.
And I forgot that if you choose to save those elves, then what happens is that guard captain survives, and then he kills all of the non-humans in the town.
Wow.
And yeah, that's so like change. So you're like, okay, I can kill this guy or I can save these five people. And if you choose to save those five people, then all of the non-humans in the town are executed, which is more than the five people that you saved. And so, like, and that's a thing that you don't know until the end of the game.
Wow.
And then there's a couple other things, like, because of how I was playing my character, like, you're always chasing after this person called Yennefer. You're trying to gain back your memory so you can find her. I'll talk a bit about that in The Witcher 3 when I get around to that one. But the guy that you're trying to kill this whole time, Lethos, you find him, and he tells you a bunch of stuff about Yennefer, and he, like, saves someone for you if you don't go save that person. And so you're talking to him, and he basically, like, tells you about how, like, he saved you and how he helped Yennefer survive the Wild Hunt and a bunch of stuff. So I just, like, ended up, and this is, like, right at the very end of the game, and he's basically the final boss of the game. Like, you get in a fight with him, and you have to kill him. Or, after this conversation, you can choose to just walk away. So I just walked away. I was like, you've given me so much information and helped me in so many ways. I can't kill you now, even though I've spent the last 20 hours trying to find you so I could kill you. So I walked away. And then The Witcher 3 does a few things that kind of bug me right at the beginning, specifically in that I've been trying to regain my memory for the last two games so that I can find this person named Yennefer. And at the very end of the second game, you find out exactly where she is. And then at the start, and like, the build up for this whole thing is that you're going to find Yennefer. And at the start of The Witcher 3, you find her in the first 5 minutes of the game. And that's it.
Well, wouldn't you find her in the first 5 minutes? You already know where she is. Why would you spend another 20 hours trying to find her?
Setup is that you have to go find, like, that she's, the setup is that she, like, you're chasing her down to try to find her because she's, like, continuously moving. And then you, like, do, she kind of ends up, like, finding you more than you find her. And then she's like, we need to find this other person. And then you have to, and then the whole game is finding this other person. And you're like, oh, well then. Like,
so just, why don't I just kill you right now instead of finding this other person?
It's a poor, well, no, you're not trying to, this person was like your lover before you lost your memory.
Oh, I thought you were trying to find Yennefer so you could kill her.
No, she's a sorceress. And one of the things I found out in this game is that, like, I guess it was probably mentioned somewhere else, but I forgot about it, I guess. But at some point, you, like, made a wish to a genie that you and Yennefer would forever be attached to each other, and so for whatever reason, you're always, like, running into each other. Like, every few years, apparently. It doesn't matter. But, I've been playing The Witcher 3. I have 40 hours in that game. I've not beat it yet. That's really impressive. Like, it's... Okay, it's the video game that makes... It feels like the next step in RPGs. Like, from a technical aspect, it's fucking incredible. Like, it's so impressive. One of the things they built is their weather system has, like, it'll be raining and stuff, right? Which is whatever. Like, weather exists. But this weather system's beyond everything else in that it has, like, fucking wind, and all the wind is going in the same direction, so then all of the trees and bushes and grass are blowing in the wind. Like, all of them move. Which is huge, because normally, like you're out in a forest, and it's fucking, like, storming really heavy, and the trees, you'll see them, like, bent over on themselves, like, going with the wind and the rain. And it's just super impressive, because normally, like, it's raining out, and it's a big storm, so all the trees are still, because it's too much.
Yeah.
But, it's just... That game, like, the weather system's super impressive. The dialogue... Okay, the way that decisions work are still super impressive, if not better than the other games, because you kind of, like, more immediately see the results of them, but there's still lots of choices where the results come down, like, a few hours down the line of playing. Like, then you'll start to see the results of some of the decisions that you made again. And those results are pretty much always gray. Like, you can do something evil, but potentially that actually does something good in the long run. Or you could think you're doing something good, but really something awful happens. Or you could do something knowing that it's bad, but if you don't do it, it turns out that actually the other choice was even worse.
Wow.
Yeah, like, there's a point in that game where you basically have the choice to, like, free someone, and when you free them, they end up actually, like, wiping out a town. Like, everyone just is gone for whatever reason. But it turns out that if you kill them like you were sent there to do, that something even worse happens. Yeah.
So no matter what, something bad happens.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Like, that game is really good at just, like... And the thing is, you don't know that if you kill them, something worse is going to happen. Because you don't know what the results of even freeing this person is yet. The only reason why I knew is my friend was like, yeah, I freed this fucking spirit, and then he killed everyone. I was like, what? Well, I'm not going to free the spirit. And then I didn't free the spirit, and I messaged him like, something worse happened than everyone dying. He's like, wait, what? How? I was like, exactly. Or even there's another point in that game where you can save this woman, and her, like, husband seems to make some really significant changes. The Bloody Baron, he, like, seems to make some significant changes in who he is as a person. But then he, like, has to leave his keep for a while and puts his, like, sergeant in command. But it turns out his sergeant is a worse person than him and is, like, looting and pillaging and raping the people who, like, live inside the castle. And so... You, like, save this woman and, like, help bring redemption to this character, but something really bad happens because you did it, and maybe you shouldn't have done it.
I feel like we should call this episode the spoiler alert episode.
Well, there's so much stuff in that game, and it's not even, like, main storyline. These are side quests. But, yeah, that game is fucking... It's the best game I've played in a long time. Like, some of the side quests, most of the side quests in that game are more engaging and longer than the main campaign in Skyrim. The main quest in Skyrim is, like, not at the quality of even the, like, little 5-minute fucking side adventures that you do in this game. Like, everything in this game is so so filled out and just so complete that it makes every other open world RPG feel like a piece of garbage.
That's impressive.
Yeah, like, this game is huge. The open world is bigger than Skyrim by far. Like, just the first area you go to is basically the size of Skyrim, and there's three areas that size. And so you're in this first area. It's way bigger than Skyrim. It's way denser. Like, there's interesting stuff to do everywhere. Just fucking everywhere. Like, I was running around, and I found this cannibal village that, like, there's not even, like, a quest tied to it. It's just a town full of fucking cannibals that I just ran into, like, on accident, basically, and then had to kill all of them because they attacked me. And then, like, you could find like, these notes, like, these diaries or, like, journals, and they're just flavor text, but they explain everything that happened there, and that's super interesting. Like, everything in this game has a reason to be there and a story behind it, and you can find it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's...
I love when games have weird, interesting background things to them.
Yeah, like, this game, it just feels like... I don't think that anything is going to hold up to it for a while. Like, the next Elder Scrolls game is going to be such a disappointment in comparison to The Witcher 3. And I'm just super excited that, The Witcher 3 is... One, it seems to be doing really well. Like, it came out at the perfect time. It came out before E3. There's no big games out. And nothing big or, I guess, groundbreaking has come out on the new consoles yet. Like, This is a game that absolutely under no circumstances could run on the old generation of consoles. And, like, I'm running this on a pretty high-end PC. Well, I guess it's like mid-range now for a gaming PC, and I can't run the game on high. I have to play it on medium. Wow. I have, like, high quality for textures and player models, and then everything else is at medium. And it's still the most graphically impressive game I've ever fucking played. And I don't even have it on high yet. Like I'm looking at this, I'm like, I need to get a new graphics card. Like, I'm getting a new graphics card this year, because I want to play this game on a higher quality setting so I can, like, see how goddamn impressive it is.
I'd have to play it on, like, super duper low.
Yeah, like, it... What the hell? Where'd my screen go? Oh.
It's in front of you, Ryan.
All my monitors went black for whatever reason. I don't know why.
I think you have more problems with your computer than just a graphics card.
No, it was, like, the screensaver power mode thing.
Oh, okay.
I just don't know why it did that, because it's never done that while I've had XSplit recording. Because normally that itself means that it can't go into power saving mode. Whatever. Mm. But yeah, like, The Witcher 3 is... I haven't beat it yet, so I can't say it's my new favorite game of all time. But it is probably going to be... Like, it's really great. If you like open world, like, Western style RPGs, this is hands down the best one that's ever existed. Like, on the quality of writing, on the quality of graphics, on the quality of the game world, just everything is way higher than it has been in any game I've ever played. So, it's something that everyone should play. It's also, like, for me, it's the end of a trilogy, because this is the last Witcher game that deals with Geralt. Geralt is the character from Witcher 1, 2, and obviously 3.
I wonder what they'll do next.
They said that they're not going to not... They said that they're looking into doing more Witcher games, but that they won't be... The main character won't be Geralt. Like, it won't be related to this trilogy of games anymore.
Ah, okay.
Which is weird, Like, it's funny, I saw Cat Icarus was talking about... He did a little video on The Witcher 3, and he was like, I have to read the character glossary all the time because I don't know who any of these people are because this is my first Witcher game, but this game is, like, unbelievable. And I was just chuckling because it's like, this is your first Witcher game, and this is the end of the trilogy. Like, this is the last one that has to deal with any of these people. So it's just really funny. Like, there's a lot of concessions narratively. Like, the thing with Yennefer that I told you about, where it's like, we have to find Yennefer, and then at the end of the tutorial you find her, and you're like, oh, well, this is kind of anticlimactic for someone you've been chasing down for two whole games now and over 100 hours of playtime. But no one who's new to this franchise knows who the fuck she is or why she's important, and the game needs to give you something else to do, because like it wouldn't be engaging narratively to new players to be chasing down this person.
Yeah.
Because you don't know why she's significant. Which is why they introduce a totally new person to chase down. But yeah.
Game design.
Well, it's just like a concession that they have to make.
Yeah.
But yeah, like everything is totally fucking top notch. It really is like the best video game I've ever played. So
even better than Monster Hunter?
Yeah, as a complete experience, like one of the strong beliefs that I have is that any game with combat in it should just be Monster Hunter. They should just all be Monster Hunter. You want to make a third-person action game? It should just be Monster Hunter. Zelda, Monster Hunter. Zelda should just be a Monster Hunter game with Zelda characters. That's just, and then maybe some puzzles.
That'd be maybe a few puzzles here and there.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a perfect game. That would be the best Zelda game ever. Zelda with Monster Hunter combat. You know what game would be better with Monster Hunter combat? Witcher 3. It's got some Monster Hunter combat elements to it, though, that are very appreciated. Like, the combat isn't as deep while still being as deep. Like, one of the things about The Witcher is that, let's say you want to go fight a werewolf. You have to prepare to go fight that werewolf. You can't just go in there and kill the werewolf. I'm playing it on the second easiest difficulty. I still die all the fucking time. Because some of those fights are just hard if you're not prepared for them. And it's one of the like long-standing traditions of The Witcher games is that you have to go make potions and have the right equipment to go kill a monster.
I bet you any money that there's people who go in with no armor on and still dominate.
No, it's just not the way that the game... Awesome. It's just not the way that game like is set up to work.
That's also because not the way many games are set up to work, but some people are really good. Like, okay, some people can go through Dark Souls.
The werewolf regenerates health, and even on the easiest difficulty, if you're playing really well but not using the two things that you need to use to kill the werewolf, he regenerates health faster than you do damage to him, even on the easiest setting. So one of the things about killing a werewolf is that you have to have werewolf oil applied to your blade, which significantly increases the damage that your sword does to werewolves. And if you don't have that, then you cannot kill the werewolf. Like, it's at least some of, like, at least werewolves your level. If they're way underleveled than you are, then it's, like, easy because they're underleveled. But, yeah, like, that game. And the thing about the werewolf oil, you don't start knowing how to make it. You have to go find the recipe to make it. So any werewolves that you run into that are your level before you have it, you just can't fucking kill. They'll just kill you, so you have to run away. And, like, there's lots of things like that where, basically, it's like, okay, I have to go kill this wraith. What type of wraith is it? Oh, it's a noon wraith. What do I have to do to summon a noon wraith? Okay, it can't be nighttime, so it has to be after dawn. But if it's noon, then they're super fucking strong and they'll kill you. So let's go find it right at dawn when it's still weak. And what spells do help fight a noon wraith? Like, what are they weak to? This spell. Okay, we're going to use this spell when we fight the noon wraith. Like, this is all information that you have to read these books in the world to find, to fill out your bestiary with. And then you go in your bestiary and it'll be like, weak to this spell, weak to this oil, and like all of the information that you need to know about noon wraiths.
Sounds really annoying and boring.
It's really engaging the way that it's done. When I say that you have to read books, I mean like the video game equivalent of reading a book. The book's in your inventory, you right click it, and then all of the pertinent information just shows up in a journal.
I don't know. Doesn't sound like my kind of thing.
Well, it's like it's kind of Monster Hunter-y. But but without
also
looking it up
my
on the
kind
internet.
Of thing, so.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
It's okay. I like it. It's not something I'd play all the time.
The thing about Monster Hunter is that, like, you gotta play deep enough to get the bug. And then once you get the bug, when I say the bug, I mean, like, the game, like, infects you. And then you just can't stop playing Monster Hunter. It's too good of a game. But
I put enough time into Monster Hunter. Maybe I'll play it again later, but after 15 or so hours.
Yeah, that's a game that almost demands over 20 hours of play.
Yeah.
You haven't even got to high rank yet. That's when the game gets tough.
I've like just started to kill actual like monsters, like big wyverns and stuff, and I'm like, yeah.
That's when that game starts to get fucking really good.
Yeah, like I started to do that, and I'm like, yeah, this is.
We should play some online one day.
I'll think about
it. We keep saying that, and we never do. It's because we're both busy individuals.
Yep.
Anyways, I played a lot of Witcher 3, and I've not beat it yet. I played over 40 hours since it came out, and they released a bunch of DLC for free. It's not like particularly meaningful DLC. It's like Witcher contracts where you go like hunt a monster, or the beard and hair pack, which is just like a bunch of hairstyles and beard styles. Oh, let me tell you about the best part of The Witcher 3.
Is it a curly mustache?
No, dynamic beard growth. Over time, your beard grows and gets longer. And you can go to a barber shop and get it shaved off.
That's
or
awesome.
Styled, if it's long enough. I've been attempting to just grow my beard as long as possible.
I wonder how long it can grow.
That's what I'm interested in knowing about. Basically, it just says, like, okay, you've been playing the game for this long, it's been this many in-game hours, you've hit a load screen, okay, what's the beard model that should be on his face now? So it's like, there's just, like, a bunch of stages to it, but it's still...
So what happens if you just stayed in one spot for, like, 200 hours?
Well, you can meditate, so it would be easier just to, like... You can meditate, so it would be easier to just fucking, like, meditate a bunch of hours away. Because you meditate 24 hours at a time, so just do that.
I was thinking, like, what if you just sit there for 200, like, hours? Like, you just sit there, let your Xbox run for 200 hours, and then you walk into the next loading screen. Do you go from, like, no beard to just instantly?
Probably.
That's hilarious.
But it'd be easier to just do the meditation thing. Because then you wouldn't have to sit for 200 hours. You could just hit backspace, hit meditate 24 hours.
Yeah,
then
but
do it again,
leaving,
then do it again,
leaving,
then do
yeah,
it again.
But wouldn't leaving the meditate cause a load screen and make your beard to grow just every 24 hours?
Maybe.
Yeah, see, that's not fun.
But, yeah, like, that game is just, it's so good. It's so good. I'm just glad that people were playing it this time. Besides that, I've been working on some programming stuff. I've got a game that I'm working on, prototyping out. I've been making a game where you build and manage an arcade. I have almost everything done for the prototype.
Nice.
Like, it's playable, besides being terribly balanced. But the prototype needs more work. Like, I want to make it so that machines can break down, so you have to, like, get a mechanic who can, like, fix the machines and, like, hire janitors to clean stuff and get people so they can buy food and stuff. Like, it needs work still, but I have it so that you can place down an arcade machine, like, anywhere in the anywhere in the navigational area. So basically, it has to be on the floor. So step one, you have to place the arcade machine inside the building. Step two, you have to place it not inside the wall. Step three, not inside another arcade unit. And then when you place it, you can rotate it. And then it needs to hope. Now, this is where... This becomes a player issue. If they fuck this up, this is their fault. But if you place it so the controls are facing into the wall, the AI will get mad because it can't get to the controls. And I need to make it so that they don't, like, get stuck like they currently do. But, like, I need to make it so they'll walk away if they can't get there. But,
yeah.
For now... It works well enough. because it's just like a prototype, because I have to change the navigation anyways, because I'm just using like the nav mesh stuff from Unity rather than using A Star like I should be using. So that's a algorithm name, A Star. It's for searching through a graph. Anyways, I got a bunch of stuff like that working out that I'm working on. But that game's kind of playable besides being terribly balanced, because currently the only two arcade machines that I have that you can place down cost 25 cents and 50 cents respectively to play, which means that you make money at 25 cent and 50 cent intervals, and you can't speed up the simulation, and an arcade machine costs $1,000. And you start with 1,500. So you can place down one machine, and then you have to wait like 45 minutes. You can place down a second machine.
Or you can buy 200 gems and get another arcade machine.
Well, this is a PC game, so we're not doing that.
Okay.
But that's what I should do. This should just become a mobile game, and I should make it so that you have to pay $10 so you can buy a second machine so it can generate money so that you can buy more machines. Or not. That sounds like an awful idea.
Or you could spend $20 and get 500 gems and buy the new DDR machine that costs $4, so you make even more money more fast.
Yeah, I don't have any like pinball machines or DDR machines yet. I just have like the stand-up cabinets. They're not even like modern cabinets. They're actually just one of them is a pink rectangle and the other one is an orange rectangle.
With buttons on the front.
No, there's no buttons or anything. They're just orange.
It's just flat a rectangle. Texture.
Yeah.
How can you tell which side's the front and which side's the back then?
You can't, but I know what they are because I set up where the front is. So I know that it's the one that is facing towards the right when you go and place down. Unless you flip the camera around, then it'll be facing left. Listen, I just know. I personally know where it is. And in the final product, obviously they'll be modeled so that they have controls on them.
Yes.
So you'll see it. But for now, I just know, and everyone else doesn't, and that's just fucking... I haven't sent it to anyone else, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the game, it's gonna be big, man. It's gonna be big. Arcade Manager, 20 whatever year I fucking managed to get it finished in. But been working on some Unity projects. We got another mobile project that I'm working on that hopefully we're going to get our prototype done, and then I'm going to send it around to some publishers.
Sounds good.
See if I can get that sick publisher money so that I can be financially enslaved to someone else until I get this project done.
Yay! Enslaved!
Well, not enslaved. I mean, I take 80%, so...
Just send it to what are they called? Digital Revolver or Revolver Digital?
I'm sending it to Chilingo. They're owned by EA.
Fine, you can do that.
I don't know how to contact Digital Revolver regarding video games. They only have a just film contact.
Just tweet at them 20 times or email their film contact.
Email the film contact?
Yeah.
This is who you email about independent movies. But sure, send your video game stuff to him too.
I'm gonna email you about my video game because you don't have a video game contact, so
yeah, it's I think you just send it to games@devolverdigital, but that was like their support email. And I'm like, what else is I've had this problem with a bunch of different companies where it's like, I want to contact you, but you don't have any fucking information. Like there was a
They don't want you to contact
It's another
them.
Thing with YouTubers. Like, one of the... Like, there was someone that, like, tweeted out... Oh, God damn it. Fucking screensaver. There was one of them that tweeted out that they wanted... That they were, like, interested in taking on some kind of, like, sponsorship or, like, promotional deal. And then I couldn't find their fucking email. Like, how do I contact you if you don't have email? This is so
you
dumb.
You can PM them through YouTube. But no one pays attention to that, so...
Yeah, especially since they had, like, hundreds of thousands of subs.
Yeah.
So, fucking good luck with that. Anyways, you want to move on to some yes. video game news?
Yes.
All right. This is related to some super MLG pro gaming. The Frag Dolls are closing down. They are retiring.
I remember when they started up.
When they started up, I was playing competitive Counter-Strike Source. I was in Cal M. Yeah, I was in Cal Main. And fucking, they started up, and we had a good chuckle because the Frag Dolls. Okay, I've been involved in several very competitive FPS scenes, and the Frag Dolls are always at like somehow at the top of those fucking like games. But when I say top, I mean like they're playing top competition. They're somehow considered good enough to show up to every invite only tournament. Yeah. But they were fucking just the worst team. They were always awful. They were so bad.
Yeah, they were not good.
Yeah.
I remember when they tried to get into Halo and that did not work well for them. They didn't even place like top 32.
There was that Shoot Mania game a couple years ago, and my friend started up a team in that, and he had to play against the Frag Dolls in this tournament. They had to play against each other like 6 times, 2 matches against each other, because it was best of 3, and they fucking lost all of them. Like the Frag Dolls lost every fucking round. It was like,
so they only had to play 4 technically.
Yeah, technically they only had to play 4 rounds. But yeah, they were just so bad. And that's a Ubisoft game. Like,
I've never heard of the Frag Dolls doing good in like any tournament.
Yeah.
Anyways. I think they did like good once at Call of Duty and that was it.
Yeah, anyways, I'm not surprised that they're closing down because it seemed like such a dumb thing. Like, why does Ubisoft have a pro gaming team?
Yeah.
Especially because Ubisoft doesn't make a lot of games that are, like, competitive, I guess, and they were really bad.
Oh, yeah. Super duper bad. But whatever.
Anyways, Twitch banned streaming adult only rated games.
Didn't they already do that a while ago?
No, they just did this like this week or last week.
Because I'm pretty sure they had a list of games that you couldn't stream a while ago. Like you couldn't stream Playboy Mansion and a few other things.
So there's only 26 games rated AO. And they, yeah, Playboy Mansion is one of them. But,
I thought Playboy Mansion was rated M.
No, it's rated adult only for nudity. But, because I've got it open on the ESRB site. There's 26 games.
Okay.
Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
San Andreas is AO?
Yeah, because of hot coffee. It was that code that you can put into the game that shows you having sex with a prostitute. It was like I don't know why it's there. Like, it was rated M originally until someone found that out. Because it wasn't supposed to be there.
Okay. They must have changed Playboy Mansion too, because I'm looking at a bunch of case covers and they all have rated M on them.
Yeah, when that game first released it was M, but then it got bumped up to AO.
Yeah.
Anyways, it seems that it is being banned now because of that game Hatred comes out like fucking tomorrow or something. Anyways, the 3 games that they specifically mentioned when they said they're banning AO is Manhunt 2, Fahrenheit Indigo Prophecy Director's Cut, which is, I don't know why that's banned. That's a fucking weird game. I don't know why that's AO, but whatever. And then Hatred, which is the silliest game of the year, maybe. Like, it just seems so... I don't know why it exists. And the thing is that a lot of people have been playing it, like a lot of game critics, and they're like, this game is kind of dumb. Like, it's just... Like, it's not... It's trying to be really offensive, which I guess it succeeded in originally, because of, like, the concept of that game is dumb, and that character is, like, too edgy. But the game's not funny or anything. Like, Postal 1 had, like, a lot of, like...
Yeah, the Postal games...
Well, no, like Postal 1... Postal 1 was not, like, any comedy at all, except for that
Postal
fucking thing.
Postal 2 was really funny. That's the one I played. That one had a good, like, sense of humor when it came to stuff.
Well, Postal 1 was, like, pretty dark and, like, didn't have a lot of humor, except for, like, how bad some of the voice acting is. and then, like, I like the thing where he's, like, shoots himself in the face because of the line that he says. It's so fucking dumb. But, like, yeah, that game just takes itself too seriously, it seems. Like, Hatred does not seem like a good game. It seems hugely underwhelming. But lots of people are buying it, apparently, or pre-ordering it, because something social justice warriors.
Yeah, that game looked dumb straight up from when I saw it. It's like, yeah, this game looks dumb. I see why there's a big hubbub about it, but it still looks dumb, and it doesn't look like a good game.
Yeah. Anyways... Yeah. Let's, I'm not sure
continue on the news train.
Yeah, let's, okay, we got 4 new games, and then I want to talk about some E3 stuff.
Yep.
All right, so LEGO Worlds is coming out. It is currently in early access as of this podcast.
LEGO Worlds?
And it is basically as Minecraft.
Okay.
And it's being developed and published. It's being developed by TT Games, published by Warner Bros.
First, I thought you were talking about Lego Dimensions, and I was like, oh.
No, but this now, is like a Minecraft clone, but with Lego.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Okay, well, that's not what I want. That's what I want. It's a good idea. Minecraft's basically Lego. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, and you can make, like, drivable vehicles and shit.
I'm definitely cool with that. I'm surprised they didn't do it sooner.
Yeah, they did do it sooner.
They did?
Yeah, so a year before Minecraft came out and got really big, there was a Lego game that was basically Minecraft, but... They always had problems with the online because it was basically aimed at children, but people would just build, like, penises. So it was hard for them to, like, sell it to parents. And then Minecraft got really popular. And then that Lego game ended up actually shutting down, like, a while ago. It was like an MMO, but Minecraft as well.
Oh, okay.
And they had a lot of problems with it, which is why I find it funny that they're making another game that is that, just minus the MMO part, so it's just fucking Minecraft, and releasing it with the Lego name on it. They already did it, so it's really, like, it's just kind of bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll get into it. I'm not really into the whole Minecraft thing. Like, there's times where I will get into it, but I mostly enjoy, like, the adventure aspect of it. I don't enjoy the building or all that stuff. It's like, I can get into mining, and I like exploring dungeons and killing shit. That's why I like the adventure maps that people make for Minecraft, or just, like, the adventure mods, or, like, stuff like MineZ. That stuff I enjoy. So if, like, the Lego game's more, like, focused on just building things, I don't know if I'll be into it too much. So
yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Minecraft is that it, like, it's hardly a game.
Yeah.
If you like, in that it doesn't have, like, a goal, it doesn't really have any structure to it, and so, like, a lot of that community
has a goal now because there's an end.
Shut up. Just shut up. A dragon is not a game. It is real life. It's serious business.
There's a build up to that dragon. You have to grind for items and stuff, and then you gotta go through a dungeon, and then you gotta kill a dragon. That sounds like a game to me.
Barely. Barely.
Barely still something, Ryan.
Minecraft, besides the building stuff, which is super impressive, like, that voxel stuff is fucking rad, but as far as game mechanics go, that game is as much as a game as the fucking prototype I built. Like, yeah. The goal is basically the same. Like, whatever. Minecraft is fine. It's just not much of a game.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's continue on this new game train before we get over to E3. Monster Hunter X was announced for Japan last night.
Not Monster Hunter NX?
Not NX, X. It's for the 3DS. And it comes out winter of 2015.
Is that because it's the 10th Monster Hunter?
Probably not. I think there's a lot more than 10 Monster Hunter games, actually.
Probably. There's like 4 just for the PSP.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all technically the third generation of Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Some of them were from Monster Hunter 2. Some of them were from Monster Hunter 3. Basically, the way that Monster Hunter works is there's a bunch of different versions, and the number just means that they, like, added new monsters.
Yeah.
Like, it's a new generation of monsters. Which means new gear.
Yay. But, Yay.
It's like Pokemon like that.
Yep.
But yeah, there's a bunch of like side versions, and some of them are good, some of them bad. Like Frontier, for example, is like a pay-to-play subscription game, and you have to play online and like pay a monthly fee, like an MMO.
I'm surprised you're not into that.
It's usually Japan only. Actually, I think it is Japan only.
You probably find a way.
Also, it was for like PSP.
All right.
So. Fuck it. But, actually, there's a Monster Hunter MMO coming out built in the Crytek engine sometime soon. It's built by Tencent. They're the Chinese company that owns Riot. Who
that should be interesting.
League of Legends. Yeah, it's like a PC game.
Yes, I know
game.
Who Riot is.
But, yeah, it's like a PC game, Monster Hunter, free-to-play MMO.
And now we'll never see Ryan again.
No, you'll see me. I want to play those games on consoles. I really like them on the Wii U, but
yeah, but then you'll play it like once with a mouse and keyboard, and you'll be like, "This is amazing."
No, that game does not work. Like, that game, you need an analog stick for movement. Just because, like, of how you the directions that you have to move because of like.
Fine, like, you plug your Xbox controller into
your
USB.
Yeah, that's how I would play that. Because, like, the thing is that you have to move not just on a 45-degree angle, but, like, somewhere in between that when you do dodge rolls sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Because you're, like, trying to roll on the angle between the monster's legs so you pop up behind it so you can hit in the weak spot.
Yeah.
That's a game that requires a lot of, like, precise movement.
It's understandable. So I like controllers.
Anyways, let's wrap this game list up with two games coming out this November.
What are they, Ryan?
So today, literally before the podcast, XCOM 2 was announced. We're dating the podcast a little by saying
no.
It was specifically announced today. But
not at all.
XCOM 2 actually looks pretty cool. Like, I like the concept of it. I mean, we haven't seen any gameplay, but it's made by the same people who made XCOM Enemy Unknown, and that game was really fucking good.
Yeah, it was. That game, I don't enjoy games like that, but I enjoyed what I've played of that game.
Basically, the pitch on XCOM 2 is that humanity lost in the first XCOM game.
Yeah.
And when I say first XCOM game, I mean first one from the reboot, because...
There was
10 XCOM games, but XCOM, like, basically XCOM Enemy Unknown, humanity loses and is, like, being colonized by the aliens, and you're resistance fighters.
Huh.
which is like, it's a cool pitch on that, because that has not been how any of those games have played out before. In all of the previous XCOM games, you're being invaded by aliens and you have to stop them.
Yeah.
And this is the first one where you've already lost. So it's a pretty interesting twist on an already like long-standing franchise. Anyways, I'm excited. And that is coming to PC exclusively in November.
Sweet. We'll probably get tablet release and then probably a few other things.
Well, like, down the line, I would not expect it to be released for a while. Like, that iPad version of XCOM Enemy Unknown that only came out, like, 8 months ago or something. Like, 8 months to a year.
Yeah, it came out, like, a year ago.
But it's, like, not nearly as good as the... Like, it's all the same content, just really shitty graphics and, like, kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last announcement... Need for Speed hits North America November 3rd. You're up on the 5th. This one look... Okay, so here's the thing that I'm excited about Need for Speed is that this reboot has all of the same dumb stuff from the like original Need for Speeds, like before Hot Pursuit, that makes this maybe pretty funny. I guess before the new Hot Pursuit, not the original Hot Pursuit, but this one has like the FMVs in the style of, what was it? Most Wanted, that were like really, really bad in a funny way. And one of the things that is like the most entertaining about Need for Speed Most Wanted is that if you like look at press and like look at preview videos and stuff, the developers who were making that game thought those FMVs were really good. They're like, yeah, this is a serious story for serious people. And it was so dumb. The whole thing was just so dumb. It was one of the dumbest storylines in video games I've ever seen. And sadly, the next one, they like leaned into it really hard and kind of made it not work. But hopefully they hit that dumbness. I want them to be super serious. Like Need for Speed is at its best when it has FMVs and is super serious. Because it's just so dumb. It's so preposterous. And I want to see it. Anyways, this one seems like it's basically the next Underground game. Because it's all nice. It's all urban night racing. And I hope that this one's actually good. Because the last Need for Speed game was awful. Like, and then like what was the last one? Was that The Run?
Maybe.
I think it was. Oh, no. That was the 2011 one. And then there was another Need for Speed game. Need for Speed Rivals.
Yeah, Rivals.
Yeah. And like, a lot of those games were just really bad. And
my computer just popped something up. It was like, reserve your free upgrade to Windows 10.
Yeah, mine did that too. Actually, I want to talk about that, but after this Need for Speed thing, because I'm excited, but you probably aren't. You're probably like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I hope that Need for Speed is fucking really dumb, and I hope that it has lots of awful FMVs. Man, FMVs, they're the best in the worst kind of way. The FMVs are the best thing in video games.
Why your arcade game should go super 90s/80s and have FMV just everywhere.
It should just be FMVs. I should build a system where you build and manage an arcade and the whole thing's FMV.
That would be impressive.
Nothing will ever look better. It's literally the real world. One of the guys at Giant Bomb was talking about when he remembered seeing Mortal Kombat for the first time, and he was like, it's literally the best looking video game I've ever seen in my life. Video games will literally never be able to look better than Mortal Kombat because it's the real world. Mortal Kombat's like one of the worst looking fucking video games ever. Like, does not hold up. Like, if you're comparing Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, Street Fighter is such a better looking game than Mortal Kombat. Just because of the FMV. It's so bad. The digitizing is so garbage. Anyways, I love FMV games, even though we don't play games that are mechanically driven by FMV anymore, but they're pretty amazing. Did you ever see that game with Christopher Walken in it?
I know what game you're talking about, but I haven't seen it.
Oh man, okay, I'm gonna have to link you to a video of it.
By
It's
Red to Play.
and low tax. But yes, they played through it, and it has Paul Giamatti in it. Like, why are they in this video game? Anyways, that's one of the best video games I've ever played in my life. It's so garbage. It's so bad. It's one of the worst video games ever. Just the best.
Good to know.
There's a lot of contradictory statements coming out of my mouth right now. FMVs are the best because of the worst. All right, so Windows 10, that upgrade comes out end of this month. Just so you know, June 29th.
Okay.
And it's free. And Windows 10 is really good as someone who's been using it. Imagine Windows 8 with a start menu. Basically, it's faster than Windows 7, and like the workflow is a lot quicker. Plus DirectX
Nice.
12. And DirectX 12 is actually pretty impressive looking.
I should probably reserve my free upgrade then.
Yeah, it's free for anyone with Windows 7, Windows 8, so.
And Windows 8?
Yeah.
What about people with Windows XP?
No. No one has XP anymore. Actually, someone was telling me, like,
Tell that
why
to
can't
my
they just
dad and my
make.
stepdad.
Someone was telling me, why can't they just make Windows XP again? And I was like, you don't understand how garbage XP is. Like, it's unworkable. Like, it has no features. It is. Like, the operating system was so much simpler back then, which made a few of the things that you do, like, it made it quicker, right? But it fucking is just so featureless. Like, you can, there's no nice way to search through every file on your computer or like to find applications besides fucking icons, and it's awful. Like, it's bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, fucking Windows XP. Windows 10 is pretty rad though. You should use it. So
I will.
let's talk. Actually, before Windows 10 comes out, I'm buying a new hard drive. So because the one that I have my operating system on now is dying. So I'm gonna do like a clean like install on everything that I have, and like
It's
fucking
funny because
completely
I think
reformat.
this Windows 7 I have on this computer is torrented, I think.
It will not activate Windows 10 then. It's not like you're still gonna have a not legit copy. They've already said that. Like, you get
I
to
can't
upgrade to 10 for
remember.
free, but it's not gonna like unlock it for you. It's still gonna be a not legit copy, and then.
Can't remember if I had to do it on this computer or the other computer I had, because one of the computers I had it crashed and I had to reinstall Windows 7, but I didn't have a way to reinstall it, so I had to torrent it and put it on a computer and then reinstall it. I
Oh,
don't
well, I
remember if
mean,
it
if
was
you had
for
the
this.
key when you went to reinstall it and entered like the legit key that you had, then it should still be
I did.
good. Oh, well then, if you cracked it, it's
I
still.
don't know if it was for this computer or the other one I had though, so this one might still be fine. I'll see.
I get Windows for free. So, like, legitimately for free from
Yeah.
Microsoft. Microsoft Student Developer Resource Association or something.
Nice.
MSDNA, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Get that shit through school. Everyone else
See?
gets like Office. Computer science students get Visual Studio, which is like a $15,000 license, and Windows. Plus Office.
Well, let's move on to E3.
Yeah, let's cover some E3 stuff. So apparently E3 has given away thousands of passes to games companies to give away to fans. So for the first year, the public will be allowed to go to E3, even though they somehow always manage to make it in. So E3 is a trade show, and for whatever reason, there's just shitloads of people who don't belong there all the time. And it apparently makes E3 like a hellhole to actually like do work in. Are you excited for E3? Are you getting any of those passes, Joe? Are you going?
Probably not. A, because I could never afford a plane ticket to get there, or a hotel on top of that.
I'm excited for E3. I'm not going, obviously, but yeah. I want to see what garbage gets announced. E3 is always fun because Nintendo comes out with their Direct the last couple of years, and they actually show off like a bunch of cool stuff. And then Microsoft comes out with nothing, and Sony comes out with nothing. And then those third parties come out also equally with nothing, but EA has fireworks, so that's a thing. And then
I don't know. This year might be better just because the consoles have been out for a while, so we might actually have some nice game release announcements.
The only thing,
like The Last Guardian.
They aren't announcing The Last Guardian.
They
won't even mention it, hopefully, at this year's E3, because every year that they mention it, it just puts them in a bigger hole. They should stop talking about that game so that they never, ever, like, that way they can distance themselves away from it, so that when it doesn't come out, because it's never going to come out, they don't get themselves into too much trouble, unlike that Drive Club thing. Out.
I can dream.
You know what?
Something from Ico.
You know what they said they were going to release but never released?
What?
Drive Club, the free version of Drive Club that every owner of a PlayStation 4 was supposed to get. That still hasn't come out. Where is that?
It'll come. Give it time.
Actually, one of the executives from Sony said that maybe it was possibly not worth doing anymore and that they weren't going to do it.
Yeah, well, that was also because Drive Club was a piece of crap.
Yeah. Well, they still said that they would, like, here's the thing. They said that during their lead up before the console came out, and like one of the big things that people like were saying around that time was like, oh, well, it's awesome because you buy a PlayStation 4 and you have a free game. Like, yeah, you have a driving game. And basically the state of the PS4 is that it doesn't have a driving game because Drive Club is unplayably garbage. Plus, it didn't get the free version out, so everyone who bought a PS4 didn't get that game that they were supposed to get.
Yeah. So,
someone did propose that, and I would agree with them. Like, that's bullshit. You can't. This is one of the things where people should hold Sony responsible. Like, everyone likes to talk about how great Sony is right now because they didn't have the rocky launch that the Xbox One did, but I would say that right now, like, the Xbox One is a more interesting platform to own than the PlayStation 4, just because it has a couple of more games. Like, if you like racing games, it has the Forza titles, and the Forza titles are great. Like, those games were fantastic. They are not the garbage. Well, I mean, if we're talking between Sony and Xbox One, I made it pretty clear that the console that I like is the Wii U. It's hands down the best one.
Yes, but, definitely.
Because it's got video games on it. But
it has video games.
But if you're looking between like the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, like the Xbox One, at least it has racing games on it. The PlayStation 4, currently the only good racing game on that is a third-party racing game available on all platforms, and that's Project Cars. Which is on PC and is apparently just fucking amazing. But, like, that game is, like, a really deep, like, simulator-type racing game where the people who want to play that seriously are the people who have the huge PC rigs with the fucking crazy wheels and everything. So, yeah. Like, the PlayStation 4 is all, like, it sold more. Actually, it sold less last month than the Xbox One. But it, yeah, like, it's just a disappointing platform at this point. I think you could say the same thing about the Xbox One. Like, the Xbox One is still lacking games. Like, so far, it's just a bunch of remakes. Yep. And then the Forza games. But those Forza games are really fucking good.
They got Project Spark and Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive was really good. And then and then the Forza games are really good. But that's about like the extent for the Xbox One. Whereas like the PlayStation 4 has Bloodborne.
That's true. Bloodborne's really good.
Yeah, but that's one game.
I know. Is Bloodborne only on PS4?
Yeah, it's an exclusive.
That sucks.
Yeah, well, Dark Souls 2 came out on all the new platforms with all the DLC and is a better game.
I don't know. I'm more interested in Bloodborne than Dark Souls. Dark Souls doesn't... I don't know. For some reason, I like the aesthetic look of Bloodborne.
Yeah, well, really that's what makes Bloodborne cool, but, like, mechanically, it's a little... I would say just because of, like, the size of that world and, like, what's there for, like, equipment, it's a little more limited than Dark Souls. Yeah. So
I'm okay with limited, though, because sometimes I look at Dark Souls and I go, this is way too fucking complicated for me.
Oh, well, Bloodborne still has that fucking garbage. Oh, yeah, I haven't explained anything. When I say limited, I just mean there's less equipment.
Yeah, okay.
There's like 30 weapons in Bloodborne in comparison to like the 90 in Dark Souls 2.
90 doesn't even seem like that much.
Well, it does when they all like play differently, right? Like this is a great sword and this is a great sword, but the animation like timings are totally different, which means that they're pretty significant.
You mean like there's like.
Like, this one takes longer to swing.
Separate weapons, or, like, there's 90 classes of weapons?
Separate weapons.
Okay.
Like, there's 90 different weapons, but some of them could be in the same class. Like, you could have, like, 5 greatswords, right? But each greatsword handles a little differently, because each one's a different weight, so, like, they swing with less speed.
That doesn't seem like a lot of weapons, then, for me. Even with 90.
Yeah, but, like, they make pretty significant... that game is like Monster Hunter, where if your swing is longer, it makes a significant change in how you play that game.
Yeah.
Because it means that, like, you have less time to dodge, right?
Yeah.
So, like, each swing is going to do more damage, but is, like, a bigger risk.
Well, I understand that the weapons are different. I just mean I don't think 90 is a lot of weapons.
Well, it is for that game.
It's like if you think you put, what, 40 hours into Dark Souls?
Yeah, but you... You have to spec in a way to make each weapon, like, work for you, right? So, like, no one character can use all those weapons.
Yeah. That's upsetting. But, yeah, whatever.
Which is actually, that's one of the reasons why I like Monster Hunter. You can just equip any weapon.
Yeah.
Because, like, all of your stats are derived from your equipment, right? Because you're not leveling like you are in Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Anyways... What are your predictions for this year's E3? What are you expecting to see?
The Last Guardian.
All right.
Okay. Obviously, Gears of War. That's going to be shown.
Well, I mean, they've already had to confirm that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that like Gears of War is going to be the big thing, right? Like Microsoft isn't going to show up and be like, "We're remaking Gears of War." It's going to be like one of those things where when they're doing the roll call on all of the big games that they're releasing, they're going to mention Gears of War. And then... Halo ODST remake.
Halo ODST is already out.
Is it?
Yes. My girlfriend actually just downloaded codes were sent out yesterday. I got my code yesterday for it.
Shows how recently I've turned on my Xbox One. I fucking didn't even know they sent out code.
Yeah, I got my code yesterday or the day before.
Oh, well, if it was only like the last couple of days, a little more understandable.
Yeah.
I turned my Xbox One on to watch... stuff that's on my computer on my TV. And here's the thing that really pisses me off. DLNA still doesn't fucking work on the Xbox One. Fucking, I want to go over there and fucking strangle whoever the fuck is working on the network stuff because it's the simplest fucking thing. All you have to do is play a file, a video file, a fucking MP4 that's on the network. Holy shit, it's not that hard. The Xbox 360 could do it. The Xbox One could do it when I fucking bought the thing. Just can't do it now. And it hasn't been able to for like 6 months. I want to fucking just strangle someone. Because like the DLNA support was garbage when you still had to use the Play 2 thing, which meant that you had to go to your computer that the file was on, right click it, go down to the Play 2 menu and your Xbox would be listed and you have to click on that and then it would open it up on the Xbox. Now, because I have too many fucking video files in the same folder, it can't load the folder and it fucking crashes. I'm like, you piece of shit. Are you fucking kidding me? This is a 64-bit operating system on the Xbox One. How the fuck can you not open up a folder that has like 500 videos in it? Like, I'm not asking you to play all 500 videos. I'm not asking you to load them. That's fucking preposterous. I just want you to put them in a fucking list and then play them. And here's the thing that really pisses me off. While the list is loading, like if the list is half loaded, I can select a video, hit play, it'll start playing it, but that list will keep loading in the background. And when the when it finishes loading the list, it says the list is too big, and then it fucking just exits out, even though it was playing the video I wanted to play. Fucking, I will murder someone. If DLNA support does not work by goddamn November, I'll fucking go down to goddamn where it's in Washington State. I'll go down to fucking, I'm like 6 hours drive away. I will go to the goddamn Microsoft campuses. I will strangle whoever is working on Xbox One. Just like, get the fucking DLNA working, you pieces of shit. Oh my god. Fucking DLNA. Motherfuckers.
But yeah, ODST was released already. Yeah, it's playable now. But yeah, I'm expecting Halo 5, Gears of War.
Halo 5 Doom. Isn't this year, though, is it?
They'll probably show it.
Yeah, like, they'll probably not releasing some type this year, of beta.
I don't think so.
I think it's at the end of this 2016 year. Already. Actually, I think they already confirmed that it was 2016 because they did that stupid thing where they're like, we never said it was coming out this year. When someone was like, why isn't it coming out in 2015? And then they, like, you said it was coming out 2015 at E3. And they're like, actually, we didn't say that. We said something else.
More Doom.
Well, obviously, because they announced Doom a while ago. You're talking about at the Bethesda thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, probably, I mean, they've already confirmed that they're showing Doom at that. But, I mean, they showed that Doom video at IdFest.
5 second like, last video. Year.
Well, they showed a video last year of Doom, but they never released it on the internet. Like, they showed it at, like, IdFest. And then they just never showed that video, so.
But, yeah, Fallout, probably a new Fallout.
Yeah, or Elder Scrolls.
Star Fox.
Wolfenstein. If we're talking about Bethesda, probably show some Wolfenstein stuff. Because, like, the New Order was last year, right? And that was, like, the best fucking video game. That was the best shooter in a long time.
Yeah.
Do you have an Xbox One? Why do you own Master Chief Collection?
I do not. I played on my girlfriend's.
Oh.
On my account.
All right, then. I was like... How the fuck did you get code for ODST? What the? Anyways, you should get your girlfriend to get Wolfenstein: The New Order, because that is that's an amazing video game. If you want to play, it's single player only, but if you like to shoot Nazis, especially Robo Space Nazis, that game's for you. But probably something to do with Wolfenstein, because like that new developer that's on Wolfenstein is like amazing. That game had no right to be good. I think I said that last year. Like, the game had no right to be good, was probably the best video game of the year.
Hopefully we get more information on The Division.
Yeah, well, they already... I think they delayed that.
Yeah, but I'm hoping for more information on it. I know they did delay
what it. What I've heard about Division so far is that it sounds like everything I kind of wanted Destiny to be. Like, it sounds a lot like Destiny... But, like, more player urgency and interaction.
Yeah, that's why I'm excited for it. I'm really... That was one game 2 E3s ago that I was like, this is a game that I can really get into. That right there is my kind of game. So that's one thing that I'm looking forward to.
What do you think? You think that Destiny is going to show up at all?
It's rumored... that people were looking at the E3 card, and one of the titles on the E3 card was Destiny Expansion. So Yeah, it's more than likely going to happen that Activision will have Destiny show up with their big new expansion. Well, Activision doesn't go to E3. Well, I mean, like, well, Destiny's with Activision, so Activision will probably be like, Destiny, you, Bungie, you guys got to go to E3, and you got to talk about this expansion, and you got to sell it, because we need more people playing your game.
Well, what's probably going to happen is that they're going to be on stage with Sony.
Yeah. Because, well, yeah, because they have the exclusive contract with them.
Yeah, and like I said, Activision doesn't do E3.
Yeah, I know. But they do own multiple companies that do go to E3.
Yeah, well, when I say don't do it, I just mean they don't do, like, the big stage show.
Well, yeah. I don't blame them. Every game that they have is, like, owned by multiple companies. If they did do one, though, it'd be, like, they'd show off Call of Duty and Destiny. Did you hear who's working with Destiny now?
No.
High Moon Studios.
Oh.
Is now working with Bungie.
Are they working on Destiny while Bungie does Destiny 2?
I don't know. It's just been stated that High Moon Studios is helping with the development of Destiny now.
Yeah, I don't know what... That game's had a really... I think Destiny 3 is going to be a good game.
Destiny 3?
Yeah. Destiny 3. I just think that Destiny 2 is going to be... It's going to be better. But, like, a lot of the stuff in Destiny, like, none of those expansions have grabbed me in that... So Destiny has a lot of good, ideas. It also has a lot of bad ideas. The content is the bad idea part of Destiny, and any time that they release an expansion, they seem to double down on the bad parts of Destiny rather than improving the parts that were good or cutting the parts that were bad. Like, the bounty system and the endless grinding for factions is garbage. It's so fucking bad. But any time that they release content in that fucking game, it's more factions, it's more faction grinding, and it just
there's
doesn't
not
make
really any faction grinding that has to be done anymore for gear or equipment.
That's not true, because they added more factions. You have to get more types of materials. It's easier to get it, but it's still material grinding. It's dumb. It's a bad way to, like, progress in that game. And the
not
level
exactly.
system The level system is
the
retarded.
Only material I've ever had to grind for since the expansion come out. Is the Etheric Light, which you use to upgrade your armor. But all of the new armor I've gotten is either from doing the Prism Elders or the Trials of Osiris, or Strikes or Nightfalls. Like, I have not had to grind to buy gear. It's all gear that I've already gotten, and sometimes the gear is already at the level 32. Level 34 level cap, if you get it in, like, the high levels of Prison of Elders or the, like, going 9-0 in Prison of Trials of Osiris, it's a weird word. So there's a lot less of grinding for Ascendant materials and all that junk. Like, I barely have to use that shit anymore. The only item that you really have to grind for now is Etheric Light, and you get it from doing, like, the Trials of Osiris in the Prison of Elders.
It's still just material grinding. It just seems so dumb. And you still have to get to 34. You still have to do all that stuff to be able to do the high level, like, not grinding content. Like, that game has just doubled down on its retardedness. Like, it just makes it... The leveling system is really fucking bad. Like, it doesn't make sense. The light thing. And I think it consistently bites them in the ass. And that, like, Destiny 1 will never be, like, a great game because of how fucking convoluted that leveling system is. Whereas, like, Destiny 2, if they rework that whole thing and just scrap that leveling system because it's bad... Like, they've already scrapped a lot of the stuff that was really bad about the leveling system, like the damage upgrade things and the armor upgrades. On when you were leveling up the weapons and you had to unlock damage upgrades.
That's still a thing.
That's gone. You don't do the damage thing, you just do the perks.
Your gun still levels up with Etheric Light.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the damage thing. Yes. Like, the perks in the, like, in,
yes, it's only perks, but your gun is,
but, like,
still
the perks
locked at,
the perks you that used to exist were, like, add 5% damage. Like, they got rid of those perks, and yes, now they're all, like, the other ones.
But when you get a gun, it's still at 324, and then you use Etheric Light to upgrade it, and it goes to 365 damage. So you still have to upgrade the gun at least once but isn't that to double the damage.
Isn't that a gun that was, I guess, what's that stupid term that they're referring to? Yeah,
pre-expansion.
That's the thing that I was looking for.
Those are pre-expansion guns.
Yeah, so, like, that kind of makes sense. That is still, like, a really hacky workaround. Like, it's... They should just settle with the fact that equipment is going to become outdated and just, like, let people deal with it. Because the grinding along the fucking treadmill of gear is stupid to get whatever it is, the etheric light, rather than just, like, being like, here's a bunch of new guns. Your old guns suck now. Deal with it. But whatever. On the other hand, it fixes their problem in that everyone would look the goddamn same because there's not enough gear in that game. Everyone does look the same. It's all the raid gear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, not really anymore because you can upgrade any gear you want.
Yeah, I don't know. That game just, like, is disappointing. There's a lot of problems with it. Yeah. Like I said, I think that Destiny 2 is going to be a good game and that Destiny 3 will be a great game. And that, I mean, they're on a 10-year roadmap, and obviously Destiny 2 is happening. Destiny 3 is obviously going to happen because of how much money they had to put in that damn thing to develop all that tech. The only thing that kind of worries me about Destiny is that they fucked up. If I put Destiny 2 in and I can't play Destiny 1 content, they fucked up. Like, that should be a continuous, like, world. But 2 has to do some, like, really significant mechanical changes.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all you want to see for E3? What you think you're going to see?
Yeah, there's probably more, but it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, I think... surprises. I think Fallout's a given.
Yeah.
And then, I want to see more Wolfenstein, because that developer just... that's the best gunplay in fucking video games. Oh my god. But, I think... Steam VR is probably going to be mentioned around the time. Maybe not at E3 because Valve doesn't do E3, but Steam VR stuff is going to be mentioned sometime in the next few weeks probably.
Yeah.
Because there's that whole PC show, right, for E3 this year?
Oh, yeah.
Like, but Blizzard's, like, part of it and other people?
Yeah.
So, and, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see HTC, who are the manufacturers for that headset, show up and, like, show off. And then I guess next year we start seeing Cyberpunk, which I'd be stoked. All right, let's wrap this up.
Sounds good.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching and or listening to the 85th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Ryan. And I will... oh, and with me, as always, has been Joe.
Thanks.
And we'll see you after E3. Goodbye.
Bye.